On today's episode of Dream Meanings, stuck in a field of sod. Could it translate to frustration or a feeling of being trapped in real life? Do dreams about deceased loved ones always mean they're paying us a visit? And could teenage wisdom make one listener fear for the safety of the unwise adults? Those dreams and more on today's episode of Dream Meanings. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number here at Dream Meanings. Of course, you can also write it on our website, dreamingradio.com. Go there, submit your dream to us. We may use it on a future episode of the program. So a couple ways to get those dreams in to us. And you can call that in. You can go to the website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No need to wait for a specific time to call in your dream or anything of that nature. Just dial us up. If it's the middle of the night, you just had it and going, I want to get this out. Use us as your notepad, if you will. You know, a lot of times I hear, and I'm the same way, where I'm going to be too groggy to write this down and I won't remember it. Put our phone number in your phone. Just dial it up real quick when you wake up from that dream. Just get it out, and then we may use it on a future episode of the program and give you some insight before you even know it. So there's a thought. Let's jump right into a caller today at 1-800-606-7193. Hi, you are on Dream Meanings.
I guess I've been having those dreams since I was young, and I stopped having them probably about 20 years ago. But for a good 30 years, I would have these dreams, specifically when I was overtired or stressed. But I would I'd fall asleep, and then in my dream, I'd feel like I was awake and wearing the same clothes, maybe laying on the couch watching the same TV show and looking at the same people that were there. And then I would see people coming around the corner that the other people that were in my dream could not see, and the people that were coming around the corner would come to them to attack them or hurt them, and usually with a knife or strangle them, and I couldn't move. I'm watching them come towards the people that I care about, and the people that I care about can't see them, and I can't alert them. I can't do anything. I can't make a sound. I can't move my arm. I can't do anything, and it was so disturbing and so I knew that I was overtired. I was so afraid of having these dreams. And then sometimes whatever was in my dream would stand next to me, knowing that I cannot move, and they would try to communicate with me, and it would scare me. But this was during my teenage years and up and into my 30s. I'm 52 now, so it's been quite some time. But I just don't know what caused them, and it was so scary that I would dread going to sleep every night. All right. Well, thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to call this in. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for sharing that dream with us. Let's talk about the time in your life, first of all, where you had the dream. High school years, teenage years, years in our life where a lot of us, and you may have broken the mold, it may have not been this way, but I'm going to assume percentage-wise, you were like a lot of us. You think you're smarter than everybody. We all have a level of that, some to a higher degree than others. And some of us who have that don't necessarily use it in the typical teenage fashion of being an ass to a lot of people. You see a lot of that, a lot of, you know, real conceited teenagers where everyone else is just stupid and I know everything. Sometimes it's kind of deep-seated, if you will, and it runs through your mind because you have figured a lot of things out from younger childhood, and then you think, oh, this is how everything works now, but you've yet to live much life to be proven wrong. You've only been proven right in some of those aspects. And those around you who are older and wiser sometimes act in ways that to a teenager seems to make little to no sense. Going, well, why would you do that? Why would you act this way? Why would you think that way? And I think quite often those ways of acting and thinking are probably end up being wiser than that of the teenager, because they've lived it, and they may have thought the other way for a while themselves too. But they have a little more life experience there. But to that teenager, that person that you trust and that you love and that you care about, you may see making choices or acting in a certain way that you feel could be a danger because you know better, because you're the almighty teenager who knows all. So if you're an anxious person at all, you're a caring person, you're an empathetic person, but you're operating with the MO of I know different or I know better than the way you're acting, you could have a long stretch of constant anxiety about those around you who are older being in some sort of danger. Not maybe necessarily attacked, but being in some sort of danger, which then could manifest itself in your dream as an attack of some sort because of that anxiety you feel of, why do they think this way? Why do they do it this way? Why are, you know, that's not right. That's not right. And it's not that you're necessarily trying to lord anything over them or you know, feel that you're a better human being, but it's that complex of, you know, teenage, quote unquote wisdom that is quite often the exact opposite of wisdom, but it's a very strong emotion, a very strong thought process at that time in our lives. So I'm wondering if that's what was going on. It was the teenage years of thinking, you know better. You're concerned because these other people clearly don't. And what could be the repercussions or the consequences to them in their life for not being as wise as young teenage you? could that be? If I'm completely wrong, I apologize. I'm just kind of going off of the MO of how a lot of us, myself included, thought about people at that age. And you know, the funny part is, as you grow up, there's, you know, that your circle, your family, if it's intact, if it's together, if you see them regularly. And there's several that you'll look at and go, damn, you know, I was stupid. I didn't see things from that perspective. I was young. I was dumb. And then there's still several, and I'm in my mid-30s now too, that I still can look at to this day and go, yeah, I think the teenage version of me was still smarter. It doesn't necessarily mean that every single adult is at that age is going to end up, you know, having proved you wrong as being wiser and older. Some people are just perpetually not intelligent and make poor choices, no matter how old they get. It's just a matter of as you grow, I think being able to look back at the choices you made and the thought processes you had at different points in your life and try and identify those areas where you've seen improvement in your own thinking and yourself and your opinions and those processes and learning from it. And then identifying, you know, where you were wrong yourself and admitting it. One of the most freeing things in the world is being able to admit when you're wrong. You know, and some of it's troubling, especially when you look back to those years, because you can make a lot of horrible choices and have really bizarre opinions that are just based on insanity. For lack of a better term. But I think we all know where that, how we all feel about that in our own lives. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number. 800-606-7193 to share your dream with us. You can also write in on the website, dreamingradio.com. Let's go to a letter. Comes into us from Brenda, and Brenda says, hi, Tony, a little background about myself. I work on my husband's family sod farm. I mow the sod fields and work in the retail office. I work 10 to 11 hours a day, 7 days a week, and working with family can be very stressful at times. But for the most part, it's a job I enjoy. In my dream, I'm out in this huge field pulling weeds when I notice one of our competitors in the field tearing up the sod. I want to go confront them and tell them to leave. And suddenly there's a road in the middle of the field leading right up to where the rival company is. Almost like they're tearing up the sod and building a road at the same time. Cars suddenly appear and drive down the road so I can't get to the other company to make them stop. When the road clears, I start walking down it in the direction that the sod is being torn up. I then get as far as a pack of wild dogs come running towards me. And I find myself surrounded. Well, these dogs are growling at me. I can't move forward or backwards. I'm stuck in that one spot while I watch helplessly as they tear up my field, and it ends there. So what was going on in your life at the time? I was working long hours. My daughter had moved out about 5 months before. She was making bad choices in her life and wasn't speaking to me as a result. My son was in his senior year of high school and thinking about college. My mother-in-law had died about a year ago, and my husband and I were in the process of buying her house. But it felt like my brother-in-laws were dragging their feet in selling it, making the process drag on forever. What questions about this do you have? I'm thinking the tearing up of the field, maybe my daughter and the bad choices she's making, the cars on the road, maybe my son going off to college, and the dogs preventing me from moving are my brother-in-laws. Am I close in my analysis? Interested in what you have to say. You were spot on with the last dream I sent you. Okay, here's my thoughts on this, and I'm not going to jump into the symbolism on this very much in detail of what it may mean. You know, when you see grass in a dream, what does it typically mean? When you see dogs, what does it mean? I'm going to jump into this just kind of in an overall view of what's going on here, because I kind of got a strong feeling on this whole dream. The sod field you're standing in is essentially your life. Every single thing that encompasses what's going on with you, your family, your job, everything, you're there and you're in it. You're doing your part. You are playing your part. Just like you're picking the weeds. You're doing what your role is in relation to those around you and the responsibilities that, that are entrusted with you. Okay. I think there's a level of helplessness that you're feeling in your life. Would be my opinion on this. As far as the dogs and the other company, yeah, I think that those all symbolize something. I don't know exactly what, if it's the daughter, if it's your son, if it's the brother-in-laws. I think they all, it's all kind of mishmashed together, and they all may represent the groups as a whole. I think what it really, really means, though, is you have a level of frustration and a feeling of helplessness within your life for lack of what you can control. It's like you're stuck here in this field. You have zero control over the road going through it. You have zero control over the wild animals out that way. You have zero control over any of these things. You're just doing your part and you're trying to do your best, but you can't control any direction that this is going. It's all just happening around you, and it's frustrating and it's scary because you're not the one steering the ship. That would be how I would interpret this dream. It's a big ball of frustration with all the aspects in your life that are in a certain element of chaos, if you will. A certain element of feeling trapped in a situation where you don't have the control. Now, what can you do about this? You know, that's completely up to you. If really, you know, you're okay and you can deal with these feelings, in a manner that's not going to disrupt your life into some sort of, you know, crazy upheaval, then fine. There's ways of dealing with these things and being happy with the role that you're playing and being satisfied with your life as it is. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't always have to be in control of every element of your life. If this is the way it's played out and this is the path you've taken and this is how it's going and it's relatively secure and you're relatively happy, good. Good for you. There's not always, you know, the grass greener on the other side or the sod greener on the other side. Sometimes it's the path you're on. But sometimes to kind of alleviate elements of our life where we feel like we're out of control and we don't have control, I think sometimes if it's a job, if it's a career, if it's part of keeping the family stable and financed and things of that nature, we need to stick with those things. And I'm not saying that you're saying you wouldn't by any means, but I think sometimes people jump out of things without ever really looking more than 2 feet ahead. And they may not always be in the most happy of situations where it's just, you know, frustrating and maybe not, the perfect job in the world, but it's a good job, which I think is kind of how you described it. Sticking with those things, but maybe trying to find some other aspect of our life that we can have a little bit more control over to make us feel a little more empowered which in turn, that empowerment in something else, whether it be a hobby or what have you, can then give you that extra fulfillment. And then, believe it or not, sometimes alleviates the frustration that you have over at the job because you have this to look forward to over here that can help lift some of that that frustration away and then overall balance things out a little bit. So if you're feeling a little overwhelmed on one side, a little out of control on one side, maybe try to find something on the other side to balance it out a bit. It's not always just, let's take everything off this scale over here, and then the scale goes completely haywire. It's how do we balance this out correctly so we're feeling a little bit more more zen, if you will, or balanced in our life. That's what I would do. If I'm accurate and you're feeling those ways, try to find something outside of the workplace, outside of the family, really, because it sounds like there's a lot of family there. And I'm not saying have an affair. I'm saying just find a hobby, something like that, where you can get some fulfillment, something that you're interested in, something that you're excited about, that really, you know, makes you happy, and spend some time there. You owe it to yourself to spend some time for something that's just for you, and you may kind of find some of that stuff balancing out a bit. Thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number at Dream Meanings. Of course, you can also write in on our website, dreamingradio.com. And do me a favor, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on, if you're listening to us on the feed from Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for being a subscriber over there. But if you wouldn't mind, and if you've been listening to us on this feed for a long time, thank you. But if you wouldn't mind, please do a little search here and find the specific page for Dream Meanings and press subscribe there as well, because that will help us grow that page into its own little entity. A lot of you have already done that. We already are into the thousands of subscribers over there, so thank you for that. But please do that. That helps us grow that specific page. We initially launched the show through our main show, which is Real Ghost Stories Online, to get word out, to let people know we exist. But eventually it will be completely standalone by itself over on its own page. And all the episodes are over there for you as well. In fact, you get them a little bit more in advance if you subscribe on the Dream Meanings page as well. So there's a perk right there. You get it more in advance than you would by subscribing through Real Ghost Stories. So do that. Look up Dream Meanings and press subscribe on whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number at Dream Meetings. Let's get another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Ray Walters from Weatherford, Texas, and I wanted to tell the dream of mine. My mother passed away back in 1981, back in April, and we were living in an apartment at the time together. She was a single mom, and she had passed away probably, I think coroner said, 11 o'clock at night on Tuesday night. I found her the next morning on Wednesday night. And when I found her, I found her between the back of the recliner and the sofa, and she had slid down the wall, I guess. And so you want to fast forward. I was 14 at that time, so you fast forward to when I was like 30. I was doing pretty good. Behaved myself, which is what my mom would have wanted me to do, you know, no crazy drinking and partying and anything like that. But I was still single at the time. And I had this dream one night that I got in my car and I just got curious in my dream. And I decided to drive to the place where she passed away, the place where we lived at once. And it was kind of a slum. We kept it up pretty good, but, you know, we had our rats and mice and all that stuff. And it's kind of a slumlord deal. But I went back there. I got in, pulled into to the gravel driveway, and I walked up to the door, and I went up the steps, and I knocked on the door. And I waited. Nobody answered. I thought, well, this is insane. What am I doing? Your mom's been dead for quite a while, and these people are going to come to the door and think you're nuts. So I knocked again, and all of a sudden it opens up, and I was, you know, aghast, taken aback. I looked, and it was my mom, and she's wearing this blue, it's a baby blue dress that she was buried in, and her hair was the same way as she was when she was buried, because I remember seeing her in that casket. And she said, "Ray, there you are. I've been waiting for you to come home. Where have you been?" And she went to hug me, and I woke up. And I was totally freaked out. You know, what do you expect? My question is, do you think my sweet mother is still in the place where she died? Is it possible that she was talking to me somewhere from beyond the, you know, beyond that place? Or was she trying to communicate with me and tell me that I had been doing things I shouldn't, which I had in earlier life? I'll explain that to you later on. It has something to do with Ouija boards. Anyway, so I'll leave you with that. You just tell me what you think, okay? I appreciate you for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that experience with us. You know, we talk about things like this quite a bit on our other program, Real Ghost Stories Online. And I always say it's very difficult to correlate something where we have evidence of the deceased coming back and giving a message to just our minds trying to process all this. Every once in a while, and this is typically what we talk about on the other show, is where we have a situation like this where, let's say, for example, you had the dream and she was wearing a specific dress in the dream. And then you woke up and suddenly you found it hanging in your closet. And you know damn well that it was not in your closet or wasn't supposed to be in your closet, or an object in the dream that was there, or something she gave you, something that could correlate that you know had to have been manipulated in reality, suddenly made itself known, or information was passed in the dream that you didn't know that you then could reconfirm outside of the dream was given. Those are the places where I can say confidently, I think there's something here. There's some sort of visitation here, a message being given there. But quite often, and I think more than not, we are all trying to process the death of our loved ones. And that will oftentimes translate into seeing them in a dream. And every time we see them in a dream, do I believe it's a ghost or some sort of communication from the other side? No, I do not. And I know we'd love to all have that and believe that, and that would be great, but I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I think a lot of times it's just how our minds are trying to process things. So do I think she's right there in the same place where she died? I don't know. I would probably lean towards no, and that probably should be a good comforting thing that maybe she's been able to move on to a better place than just being stuck there. Quite often when we hear stories of somebody stuck in a certain place, it can be rather frustrating. It doesn't always end up all so good. So with this dream, I would take it as that, as a dream, as your mind trying to process your mother's passing. And of course you want to get a hug from mom if you had a good relationship with her, and some words of welcoming. And that's probably just all it was. It was a longing for your mom who had passed away. And you're trying to get that feeling, that experience in that dream. We long for those feelings of comfort, of home, of acceptance, of being safe with the ones that we love. And I think that that's what was going on in your dream. When I'm anxious, when I'm having a stressful time, I tend to have dreams and put myself in places where I feel good and I feel welcome and I feel really, really happy and at peace. And it's amazing how real those dreams can be, and how much you can feel reality, although it is all being put together in our minds. Earlier this year, I was having a real stressful week, and I tend to go back to childhood spots in my dreams. It's not that I'm sitting there, I want to dream about this place. I just end up being there. And I had one of the most vivid dreams I think that I've ever had, where I could feel elements around me. So often in dreams, it seems like I'm there, but either I can't, you can't taste things, or there's not like wind or breeze, or there's something missing. I can usually identify if I realize I am dreaming, I'm taken aback and sensing, okay, this is what's off about this. This is why I know this is a dream. But I had all of the senses there, and I was back in my parents' backyard area. There's a little creek back there. There's a lot of trees. There's hills. And I used to play back there as a kid. It was almost like a park. It was a little inlet that was between our house and a house that was up on the hill away. And I loved it back there. It was so fun. It was a real peaceful place. And in my dream, I was just back there. And I could hear the leaves rustling. I could see them moving. I could feel the breeze going through, I was going to say my hair. I don't have any hair. Over my head. Over my bald head. And I could smell what it smells like there. And every place has a scent. And you realize that once you're there, I could smell the leaves. I could smell the grass. I could smell the creek. I could smell just that nature. And I looked around, and everywhere I looked, everything seemed in place. I could see my parents' house. I could see the neighbor's house. Albeit some of it was from a different time. The color of the neighbor's house was not what it is today. It was what it was when I was a child. And there were other elements that were in my dream that looked so vivid, almost as if you could take a 360 or a VR photo today and then look around and kind of get that element. That's what it felt like. It felt like I had a virtual reality goggle on, and I was in this other setting in another time in another place and just looking at everything, but feeling all the elements of it. And it was really amazing. I can't say I've had a dream that felt so real. Although I knew in it I was dreaming. I knew from the moment I was dreaming that this is going to be a very small moment to soak this in. And I just sat there going, I hope this doesn't end soon. And as I start to realize that, slowly things started falling away. Senses started going away, and then I woke up. Now, I don't think that I was actually there. I don't think it was anything paranormal, but it really felt real. But that's the power that our dreams can have, to make things feel so real, even when they are not. But again, like I said, I don't discount situations where the possibility of some sort of paranormal thing or other side communicating can happen. I think it does happen. I just don't think it happens, at a percentage of to the level of everyone having a dream about a deceased loved one, that being legitimately the loved one coming back. If you take everybody who had a deceased loved one dream, 100%, these people say they had that dream. What percentage actually did have the communication legitimately? I don't know, 5 to 10, maybe? I it's probably around there. This is just my wild guess based on what we've talked about on our show. And it's really hard to know sometimes, because without some sort of solid evidence on the other side pointing, saying, oh, this is unexplainable, it's hard to know. I think it can happen also without evidence, but then it makes it that much more difficult to really quantify. So, some thoughts on that. 1-800-606-7193, our phone number at Dream Meanings to share your dream with us. Let's go to another letter. Heather writes, and hi, friends. Wanted to share an interesting dream with you all. I have been following you guys for a few years. My wife and I are big fans. We actually sent you your very first bunk bed bell from our other show. Very cool. Bunk bed bell, by the way, something we talk about on the other program quite a bit. We rang a bell because the word bunk bed and that object, bunk beds, come up in paranormal stories to such a high degree. It's so strange. It makes no sense. But it's right there with Ouija boards. In fact, I think sometimes we hear about bunk beds more than we hear about Ouija boards. Anyway, and she told me about this new dream podcast, and I thought I'd share, since my wife has been begging me to write up one of our experiences. My story is actually a twofer, a paranormal and dream-related. Little backstory, I was briefly obsessed with urban exploring or exploring abandoned buildings. Unfortunately for me, the amount of abandoned buildings in my town that I might have been able to explore were pretty slim. Imagine my excitement when Taylor, a relatively new friend of mine, told me about an abandoned school hidden in plain sight, not far from home. Together, Taylor, my girlfriend, now wife, Kelly, and I planned to explore the school after dark. Parked a few blocks away, and Kelly stayed behind as a lookout. After walking around the school, nestled in the neighborhood but long closed a few times, we realized that we either had to go over or under a 6-foot fence. We chose under. Somehow, well, handling the fence, the oversized padlock chain link on the gate broke, and we were able to swing the gate wide open. We stole across the lawn in the dark. There was a dim streetlight illuminating the building itself, but for the most part, it was black. The building was partially open air, accessible through a large archway, which had been blocked completely by a chain link. Taylor and I weren't to be deterred, so we set off in search of bolt cutters. When we returned, we clipped through the chain link with ease and made our way into the school. The hallways were covered, but open to the black of the school. Doors to the classrooms along the left and archway similar to the one we'd just broken through on the right. Each archway was safely fenced off. Just as we finished taking down the second set of fences, my BlackBerry buzzed. Give me a break. It was 2009. It was Kelly, and the cops were coming. We hightailed it away from the school, heading in the opposite direction of where we'd left Kelly parked. We met her on a dark corner, headlights off, and slid into the car. We giggled, hearts pounding, and talked excitedly about our minor indiscretion that night. We planned to come back the following night. We figured it'd be safer to come even later once the houses in the neighborhood were all dark. It'd be easier to get in. The gate was open and the chain link was down. We'd be able to walk right in and look around. That night I asked my mom what she knew about the school, and she said it had been operating as recently as a few years prior and was once a school for children who had experienced a significant amount of behavior incidents in school or were in danger of dropping out. She said that my cousin Jay had been sent there shortly before his passing in 2002. When Kelly, Taylor, and I met up the following night, we were high on adrenaline. The drive to the school was easy. We planned on pulling in the parking and parking right beside it in the empty gravel lot once meant for faculty and staff. As soon as we turned the corner and onto the school campus, I was overcome with a feeling of foreboding. Even now, writing this 8 years later, I feel my skin pull tight from goosebumps and my eyes water remembering the fear. I can only describe it as a feeling of being washed in darkness. I turned to look at Kelly and could see the fear on her face. I felt it too, she told me. She reached over and grabbed my hand. Did you feel it? I asked Taylor. She didn't. Still, Kelly and I knew we needed to leave. I don't know what's in there, I told them, but we're not supposed to be here. Taylor was pissed and rode silently home. That night, I had an intense dream. To be honest, I consider this dream to be the first visit I ever experienced. In the dream, it was my birthday. In real life, it was winter. My birthday was in August. There was a table set up in my living room, and I was making Jell-O jelly beans from a mold that in real life had been in my cabinet unused for years growing up. The door opened, and my aunt Tessa, Jay's mom, came in. Following her were my cousins, Nina, Becca, and then Jay. No one could see him but me. We hugged, then he sat next to me at the table, and I turned my attention to him. What are you doing here? I'm here for your birthday, he said. Are you an angel, I asked. When he answered affirmatively, I asked, are you my guardian angel? Another, yes. What do you do? Have you ever left the house, he said. Remember, you forgot your keys. You have to make a split-moment decision when to turn around to get them or just leave them behind for the day. That's me. I just make sure you're in the right place at the right time. As he was talking, my mind filled with a vision of myself, 10 years old, riding my pink Huffy in front of my house. The trees in the neighbor's yard across the street are impossibly green. The air is crisp, devoid of humidity. I'm turning in a wide circle. The vision is gone. And I wake up. Tears were streaming down my face. I cried on and off that entire day thinking about Jay and how healthy he looked. How he seemed. How his voice was exactly like I remembered it from childhood. I love dreams. I love talking about dreams. It's not unusual for me to remember a few dreams from the night before in the morning. If a dream is scary or quirky enough, I'll grab my iPhone and type a brief summary so I can remember it in the morning. This one, though, was different. It was ethereal, but not dreamlike. It almost felt tangible, hanging over my head the whole day, a gray cloud, heavy and harmless. It's been a long time, and unfortunately, now I've lost a lot of the details, but I may never forget that unsettling days that dream left me in. While visits were never something I'd considered, I'm a healthy skeptic who wants to believe, I have to believe that this was something more than a dream. My wife and I are both of the belief that Jay saved us from something awful in that school. Kelly and I love your work and hope you enjoy the story. Be well. My relationship was new. Not too much upheaval or change at that point. I'd recently moved at the time I had this dream. Do you think it was a visit? Do you believe in visits? What experience y'all have with visits is the question he leaves us with. Do I believe in visits? Like I said earlier in the show, yes, I do believe in visits. Do I believe visits can happen without having any sort of evidence on the other side? showing that it was a visit? Yes. But I think it's very, very difficult to affirmatively say yes or no, it was a visit without it. Do visits happen where there is evidence on the other side, in reality, of there being something that happened in that dream that was beyond just our dream? Yeah, that happens too, although much less frequent. With this situation, it's very hard to say. Again, it is. It's very hard to say if it was a visit or not a visit, because it's something where you have the anxiety right before the dream. You had that situation, that intense situation. And then you had this situation where you're celebrating a birthday, you're having family come over, and I think your mind may have been looking for some solace and some peace from the anxiety that you were experiencing, and that's where you kind of got a family gathering, which can sometimes be a happy thing. So I'm thinking that it's on the realm, certainly, of possibility, with a slight amount of evidence there, that it could have been something just by the feeling that you got and the message that was relayed to you in your dream when you're trying to make sense of why did you get that foreboding feeling. We all get them from time to time. We don't know why. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's just not. So could this have been a connection and a tie-in? I think there's some evidence to point there. Not as good as you woke up and then there was an old birthday card from Jay on your dresser that you know was not there the day before. But there is some evidence there. But if we were to talk strictly in dream terms as to why did you have a dream about a birthday party and seeing your cousin there, I'm going to go and guess that maybe in conscious thinking, you've wondered, as a lot of us do for loved ones that have passed, are they our guardian angels now? Are they watching out for us from the other side? And you were just in that situation of a spooky situation, and you got some sort of warning emotionally that made you pause and turn around, wondering if that had something to do with it, all the while your subconscious is trying to find some peace and some happiness outside of a spooky situation. Hence, you got a birthday party in your dream, and you're still trying to make sense of what exactly happened. So I think it can be explained either way, but I think there could be some influence in there that goes beyond just a dream. Thank you for sharing that with us. We do greatly appreciate it. All right, 1-800-606-7193 is my phone number here at Dream Meetings to share your dream with us. You can also write it on our website, dreamingradio.com. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. It helps us grow the show and keeps us on the air. So please do that. Thank you in advance for doing that. That wraps up today's episode of Dream Meetings. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening.